Hello to everyone out there today. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you again from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. I'd like to thank you for joining us today and each and every broadcast that you join us. We really appreciate you. We're glad that you tune in and listen to us. And we'd also like to extend you an invitation to come visit our church. We'd love to have you visit here. And we can tell you this, you'll have a really good service here. The Lord really blesses here and meets with us all the time, and it's just a blessing to be in this church. And I thank God for Hilltop Baptist Church. I thank God for what He's doing here. I thank God for what He's going to do here. I'm going to talk this morning to you about a topic that's constantly on my heart. I do a lot of reading and study, and one of the topics that is constantly coming up in my studies is the falling away of the church. We're not waiting for a falling away of the church to come. We are in the middle of that great falling away, and we're in serious trouble in America, and we just do not believe that. We're seeing some things going into the church that happen in the church that should not be happening anywhere in society, much less in a church somewhere. But before we get started this morning, I want to open up with a word of prayer. And just pray that the Lord would bless us here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We just want to praise you, Lord, for Him going to the cross and dying for our sin, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach the Word of God, Lord. I pray, Lord, that it'll go forth in demonstration and power of the Spirit of God, Lord. Once again, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, and pray, Lord, that you just help us here today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me read a couple of scriptures to you to start out with. The topic that I'm going to be dealing with, as I've already said, is I'm going to talk a lot about apostasy this morning. We know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the Bible says that there will be a massive falling away of the church before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And as I've already said, we're already dead in the middle of that, and you would not believe how far the church has fallen away. Let me read some scriptures to you that give us an admonishment as Christians that we are to stand. We are not to fall away. We are to stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The only way that your faith is going to stand in the power of God is, first of all, if you're permanently indwelled by the Holy Ghost of God. And then, second of all, if you're in full fellowship with God by yielding to the convicting work of the Holy Ghost of God in your life. That's where your power comes from. That's where your power to teach and preach comes from. That's where your power to serve the Lord Jesus Christ comes from. That's where your power to witness to lost men and women comes from. You can only get that through the power of God. You can use all the techniques of men that are in the world. You can use the wisdom of men. And it will not help you in this day and age. If you use the techniques of men, you're going to get the results of men. Now, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says this, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong." You'll hear that verse again later on as I continue to preach here today. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong." Ephesians 6, verses 13 and 14, that great passage on spiritual warfare has this to say, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." If you're saved, you know who that breastplate comes from? It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. We got that righteousness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Philippians 1:27 says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit." Do you hear that? Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're in a battle, folks, and I think folks have forgotten that. I also believe that there are folks that have not forgotten it, but they do not want to be in the fight because I believe they're hirelings is what I believe they are. Second Thessalonians, which is that chapter that I called out just a few minutes ago. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 that deals with this great falling away that will take place. God himself said that he would send this world strong delusion that they would believe a lie. And believe me, they have fallen totally for a lie of the devil. God has sent them strong delusion that they would believe that lie that the devil's putting out. Verse 15 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says this, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hear that word there again, stand fast, and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistles. We're to hold to the traditions that have been taught in the Word of God, not some church tradition or some doctrines and covenants of a church or some catechism, but those things that come clearly from the Word of God. We're to hold to those things. We're to stand fast unto those. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 says this, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. We are admonished. I've quoted you out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 scriptures today that tell us that we are to stand. We are in a battle with Satan, and we're in a battle with his ministers also in the church today. The church today should be embarrassed to even call itself a church. We have Baptist churches out there that are teaching the doctrines of devils from their pulpits, and these things ought not to be so. And I would go even further than that. It's not just Baptist churches. It's every denomination in America that has. The American church is almost totally apostate. Our pulpits are full of lost men, and unfortunately, lost women are occupying the pulpits of our churches. God never called a woman to occupy the pulpit of a church. And God never called a lost man to occupy the pulpit of a church either. I want you to turn in your Bibles now to 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's read verses 3 and 4 there. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. We're in a time when people today are mocking the Word of God. And unfortunately, it's mostly people that are church members that are mocking the Word of God. They put the Word of God up for scorn by what they teach, but even more importantly than that, by the way they live their lives. They mock the Word of God because they have things in their lives that are clearly condemned in the Word of God, and they will not forsake that sin and repent and get back in full fellowship with God. And believe me, to the world out there, it's a whole lot worse the way you live than what you talk. Your living testimony, what somebody else sees, many times is the only gospel that some folks are going to see. If you tell me that you're saved and you continue to walk in the ways of the world, you continue to be ungodly, and you continue to question everything that's in the Word of God, and you mock the Word of God and mock the doctrines of the Word of God, I have every right to assume that you are lost and dying and on your way to hell. And I'm convinced that our churches are full of men and women that are lost and dying and on their way to hell. I don't think that I would be understating it by saying that in the American church, I believe that fully 90% of the people that are sitting on the pews of our churches are lost and dying and on their way to hell. And that's because a lot of preachers and a lot of Christians that are out there are not living what they say that they're living. And also because our churches are so full of men that are teaching the doctrines of man, and they're ignoring everything in the Bible. That's why we're in a time when men and women are scoffing the church, they're scoffing the Word of God, they're scoffing the Lord Jesus Christ, is because our pulpits are full of wickedness is where we are. And I, for one, am sick and tired of seeing it. I would like to deliver this out there to anybody that says that they're a pastor and a preacher. Stand for that which you claim that you hold to. And by the way, if you're holding to another Bible out there other than the King James Bible, you're automatically off on the wrong foot. You've got your church into serious trouble if you continue to use other versions of the Bible other than the King James Bible. Now, we're living in days when scoffing false prophets and also false teachers have tried to turn everything upside down so that things are right in their own eyes. Just like it was in the book of Judges when God was dealing with the nation of Israel, they were doing those things which were right in their own eyes. That's where the church is at today. They're doing the things that is right in their own eyes rather than what the scriptures teach, rather than what God would have them to teach. We are also living in a time when the word of God is mocked and right is called wrong and wrong is called right. God is not happy about it either. America is under the judgment of God because of where we stand at, mostly in our personal lives, because we are a nation full of sinners that are lost and dying and still on their way to hell, have never been saved, and then that disease, that apostasy has invaded the church, and our churches have no power because God has left the church and has written Ichabod up over the top of the doors of most churches in America. I don't believe that there's one church in 10 in America that is standing for the doctrines of the Word of God. We need to repent and turn back to God. When we're in a situation where we're calling within the church, we have professing Christians that mock fundamental Bible-believing Christians. And if you're one of those folks out there that mock fundamental Bible-believing Christians because they stand for the Word of God, you're in serious trouble. Very serious trouble. Here's where we are. Isaiah chapter 5 verses 20 and 21 says this: Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That is a perfect description of the church today. We think that we're doing the prudent thing when we compromise the Word of God and also compromise Christian standards to try to draw a crowd into a church. If you're doing that, God help you. That's all I've got to say. God help you if you're compromising the Bible so that you can draw a crowd. Because I'll remind you, what you draw them with is what you're going to have to keep them with. God is not pleased with the church of today. We're living in a time when Christian men and women just will not stand up and be counted for God. They're just not going to do it. And I understand that this time that we're in is a time really of great mockery and great persecution for Christians. We're not really persecuted like early Christians were persecuted, but we are mocked and scoffed at because of what we believe. And if you're a fundamental Bible-believing Christian, you're going to have to take some mockery. And I would encourage you out there today, if you are a Christian and you will not stand up, you'll not live holy, but you know for a fact that you're saved, I encourage you to repent. You must repent if you're going to get the power of God back on your lives. And if you're a compromising preacher out there, a compromising false prophet, a compromising false teacher, and I could go on and on with this thing with the compromise. If you're there, you need to repent and turn back to God if you're ever going to get the power of God back on your personal life. And if you're ever going to get the power of God back into your church, back into your home, you're going to have to repent. You cannot live in open sin. You cannot live in a position where you're mocking the very doctrines of the Word of God by the way that you live and by the things that you teach from the pulpits and from the lecterns of churches in America. God help people that will not stand for the Word of God. Now, the greater responsibility and judgment for the situation that lies in our churches is with the men of God that are responsible for the pulpits. God has ordained that Christian men should take the spiritual leadership both in the home and in the church. That's God's method of doing things. And He holds the men responsible for running the church the way it ought to be. God calls men to pastor churches. He does not call women to pastor churches. And if you're in a church that has a woman as a pastor, you are already in direct violation of the scriptures, and you need to repent of that. Many of the so-called Christian men and women are, in reality today, are not Christians. They claim that they're saved, but they're not saved. They have a profession that is without the presence of faith and the power of the Holy Ghost of God. In other words, they're still on their way to hell. Elijah asked the nation of Israel a very apt question in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 18 when he was dealing with the prophets of Baal. Now, who are the prophets of Baal? The American churches today are full of the prophets of Baal. They're the people that are serving the devil is what they're doing. They are the ministers of Satan. But Elijah had this to say about those folks. How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They were convicted, but not convicted enough to do anything about it. They answered him not a word. And you know that shortly after that, that these prophets were destroyed. We had a man of God here, Elijah, that stood up and he called sin, sin. He called compromise, compromise. And he also dealt with the kings in his day without fear. And why did he do that? Because he had the fear of the Holy Ghost in him. He had the Holy Ghost that was leading him. Now today, we don't have that. We don't have men that will stand up. What we have is an effeminate Christianity that is not willing to fight the fight of faith. They will not stand up and fight. The Bible says that Christians are to earnestly contend for the faith. That's in Jude verse 3. And that's what the title of our broadcast is. When it comes on the air every time, it is called Earnestly Contending for the Faith. Because we are to earnestly contend for the faith. We are in a day and time when if we don't stand up and fight the fight of faith, our churches are going to get weaker and weaker. Our nation is going to get weaker and weaker. And we're seeing the fruits right now of the great apostasy of what's happening in this nation. And we are to earnestly contend. And when it says contend, that kind of gives you the idea that contention is going to be involved in it, that it's going to be a battle, that it's going to be a warfare. So you men out there, I encourage you to do what God has called you to do. Now, another verse, which I've already quoted, this verse says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Quit doesn't mean for you to just to sit down. It means to show yourself to be a man of God. That's what it means. It means that you're to have some backbone. If you're not going to stand up, then how can you expect your wife to stand up? Or how can you expect your children that are saved to stand up? If you're going to be a wimp, then how in the world are you going to expect anything better out of your family or out of your church? You need to stand up and be counted for as a man of God. And I guarantee you that if you'll do that, if you'll repent of your sin, if you'll be praying to God, if you'll be in your Bible, that the power of God will get on your life. And when the power of God gets on your life, you're going to see some things start happening in your life and in your church that will bless your family and also bless your church. God will start using you in a mighty way. We're in a situation where we need to repent. We need to stand up and be counted as men. And listen at this verse here too, out of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of of Jesus Christ. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. That hardness that you're going to have to endure is that very same hardness that Peter talked about when he said there would be mockers and scoffers. And that's where we're at. We're in a situation where men will stand in the pulpit of good, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches and preach the Word of God, and they have men and women sitting on the pews of those churches that are mocking them. I've seen it. I've watched what the reaction is. When I preach sometimes, I see the faces of people, and your countenance reveals a whole lot about you. When a man of God is standing before you and preaching, you can be read real well. And you're going to experience some hardness. And believe me, when you stand in the pulpit, you see hardness many times. In fact, some people that are sitting out there are saying, go ahead and touch my heart if you can. Go ahead and do it if you can. That's the kind of attitude that you see. Now, when all things are considered, all of this stuff is really a question of faith, isn't it? That's what it really boils down to. Do you believe the Bible? Do you have faith in the Word of God? Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says that the Word of God is a two-edged sword. And I believe that two-edged sword, it is not just the living word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe that it is the King James Bible, the Word of God. It's a two-edged sword. It's both the written word and the living word in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. I fight my battles with the Word of God and with prayer and with holy living. That's the way I fight my battles. I don't fight my battles by compromising with somebody. Well, you come right on in. It's okay if you believe the way that you do. No, I don't believe that. I believe that we are to deal with people in love. We're not trying to cram things down their throat, but if we deal with them time and time again and they will not repent, then we need to deal with them more forcefully. That's what the Word of God says to do. Now, we're also in an age right now where if we take a look around us, we wonder, how in the world is it that all these people that say they're Christians, how is it that they can be saved? They're holding to all these false doctrines that they hold to. And by the way, I'm going to deal with those false doctrines in this particular series. This series will probably run somewhere around 3 or 4 different sermons on this series on apostasy. But we look around us and we see things happening that we look at and we're amazed and say, how can that be Christian? Look at what you're doing, but you say you are a Christian. Listen at what you're preaching from the pulpit, and you say you are a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I do not believe that you are. I believe that you're known by your fruits. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ used a statement in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, that I think really applies in this day and age that we're in. He said this, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" I do not believe that that was a question. If it was a question, it was a rhetorical question. What he was doing was making a very strong statement that he knew that there would not be a lot of faith on this earth. And that's where we are in our churches. That's why our churches are powerless. There is no faith. And in fact, I'll even go this far. Most of our churches are loaded up. They're full, jam full of unsaved people that are on the church rolls. And that's why we're at. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ could make the statement that that he would not find faith. And that's really what that means there. Those that do not have faith will wither and fade away in the heat of the battle. In the battle that is set before us, those that suffer from a spirit of fear cannot win the victory. Do you suffer from a spirit of fear? You know why you suffer from a spirit of fear? It could be a combination of reasons. Number one, if you're still lost, you can suffer from a spirit of fear. And number two, if you have open sin in your life, you can suffer from fear also. Because what you do is you hinder the working of the Holy Ghost in your life. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." We've got to have the power of God upon our lives. And you take a look at that scripture there. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed." We have so many people out there today that are ashamed to hit the streets. They're ashamed to talk to their friends and tell people that they are saved, that they are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they believe in Him, and they believe they ought to live right. We have so many people out there that are ashamed to do that. They're ashamed to go out and give somebody a biblical plan of salvation. If you go out there and tell somebody that all you got to do is 1, 2, 3, repeat this prayer after me, then what you're doing is you're giving them a false gospel. If there's no repentance involved in the gospel that you present to them, then you've not given them a biblical plan of salvation. And if they accept what you give them, then they are not saved in a biblical fashion. And if you bring them into their church, your church, they're going to be nothing but goats. You're going to create nothing but problems in the church because they're not saved. They've not been given a biblical plan of salvation. Salvation without repentance is a salvation that leads to hell. Now, Many professing Christians today act like they're ashamed, don't they? Do you act like you're ashamed? Are you afraid to tell somebody that you're saved? Are you afraid or ashamed of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it embarrassing to you that when one of your co-workers or one of your friends starts cussing and using his filthy language around you that you won't say anything about it? You won't tell people, well, I'm a Christian and I really wish that you wouldn't talk like that. I wish that you wouldn't do that. Are you afraid to do that? This ought not to be so. It just ought not to be so for Christian folks. For we should not be ashamed of the gospel. For what does the Bible say? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know what I say about that? Hallelujah. 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 Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord. He's given me the power. And he said that he would give us all power to serve him. I think the problem is that most people have not received that power. Now, why is it that we're living in an age when professing Christians, pastors, preachers, and teachers fear man more than they fear God? And that's really what it's all about. We've got a bunch of wimps in pulpits today. We've got a bunch of people teaching more than they are preaching that will not stand up for the Word of God. Why is that? Why is it that we're living in an age when most professing Christians are ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is that? It is because most professing Christians today are not possessors of salvation. And I've hit that a number of times already in this particular sermon. They hold a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And you know where the power thereof comes from? It comes from the indwelling Holy Ghost of God. If you've not repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you do not have the indwelling Holy Ghost of God. You have no power. And so you have a form of godliness. In other words, what you have is religion. You know what religion does? It sends people to hell. That's what religion does. There's a difference between religion and Christianity. Christianity is the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ living in my heart. Religion is me trying to work my way to get to heaven. And we know that cannot work because God will not take our works as a means of salvation. So what I'm saying here is that the people that we have today, not just our professing Christians that's sitting in the pews, but also our pastors and preachers that are standing in pulpits, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. In other words, they deny the faith is what they do. We have pulpits full of people that are unsaved. And I want to repeat that to you again. We have pulpits that are full of unsaved men and women. We've already addressed that issue. They have no true knowledge of God, for they have no fear of God in His Word. In short order, they would stand in the pulpit and correct the Word of God, or they'll stand in there and deny a cardinal doctrine of the faith, and I could go on and on this morning. Therefore, because they have no knowledge of fear of God, they have no knowledge that counts for anything with God. The Bible says this in Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I'm going to close out there for this morning, and we will take up again with this topic dealing with the apostasy that has invaded our age. Thank you, and God bless you.